Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Satan. And I submit totally, God, my word is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness. And it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard. But I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none. Just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say. But I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real. And help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family. And the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me. Feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fool, it's in my blood for show. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. And killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Over law, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knots. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Lord, please help me to endure my trials. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me a law, surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord, Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen, amen.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and in the name of His Exalted Christ, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, we greet you all with our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum, and welcome you back to Young, Gifted, and Black. And it is my distinct honor and privilege. Thank you. It is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you my little sister queen, who is doing such an excellent job here on Young, Gifted, and Black, and her topics have been causing heat, and I wanted to let you know that Sister Yatira, since you're hosting of the show, you reached your highest peak last weekend with 4,701, so 4,701 listeners on your show has been your highest peak so far. So all praises due to Allah, and congratulations, little sis. And so without further ado, Sister Yatira T.T. McDaniel. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am, and all praises due to Allah. Wow, first and foremost, in the name of Allah, the beneficent and merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I further bear witness that the most honored Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ, and the outer minister of our time is a divine reminder for us here today. And I want to thank the believing family and my listeners and all who are on the show, and it's because we want to peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. That's just amazing news, sis, and I'll be peaceful. I'm really glad that we are, you know, we're reaching the people, and, you know, people are liking what they're hearing, and they're coming back for more, so I'll be peaceful. Just moving right along into our topic tonight of who are the real Jews, or the real Jews, please stand up. I just kind of wanted to touch on a little bit on, you know, why we're having this topic. Not only is it an important topic, but where it came from was right around the time when the Kanye West, you know, situation came out, and the minister, you know, was telling Kanye that he didn't have to apologize. I posted, you know, a small clip, like a 2-minute, 41-second clip of that, and some distant family members of mine, you know, saw it, reposted it, but put up a caption that was, you know, kind of disgusting what the minister was saying. So when they put that up, you know, we kind of were going back and forth, you know, asking questions and just trying to get some understanding. And, you know, my distant family members are, I'm not going to call them Jews, but I believe they're like Hebrew Israelites or something along that line. You know, we grew up calling ourselves Jews, from my understanding. I did, you know, along with them, but they don't call themselves necessarily Jews nowadays. So it was, you know, my distant cousin and my aunt and I guess one of their friends, a Caucasian Jew, and they were just, you know, saying that it was hurtful to what the minister was saying and all these different things. So, you know, just in it, some things were talking about, you know, the original Jews and, you know, anti-Semitic and just things like that. So I just felt like, you know, this is something that we just really need to really talk on, you know, about the real Jews and things of that nature. So, with that being said,
okay, Sister Yatira, I'm sorry. Allow me to interrupt for a moment. I know that you're struggling with your voice, but you're sounding kind of muffled, so I want people to be able to hear you clearly. So I don't know if you could just maybe speak up a little more, if it's possible.
Okay, hold on a second.
Because we're having some difficulty hearing you.
Okay, do I sound any different here?
It sounds a bit muffled.
Okay, let me see something.
Yes.
Still muffled. Okay, how about now?
Perfect.
Praise be to Allah. Okay. Okay.
Yes,
well,
ma'am. You sound a lot better.
Okay, thank you, Queen. So our first question, if we can move right. Oh, no. We have panelists. I'm not sure who all is on, but
well, Brother Kareem is here, and Brother Jihad Ali is here.
I'm right here.
And okay, and Brother Andre is here. And if anyone else was designated to be on the panel, you're gonna have to press 1. On your dial pad, the student minister Andre is here, Brother Kareem is here, Brother Jihad Ali is here, and there is someone from area code 727.
I don't even care. I don't count anymore. I understand.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
No, that's not true. 954, your mic is live. Were you a panelist? Area code 954.
Hello?
Yes. Were you a panelist on the show tonight, or are you just listening? Oh, I guess not. Okay. Well, that's all I can identify right now.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I just want the panelists to, you know, reintroduce themselves to the, you know, listening audience, or introduce themselves for those who haven't, you know, been on or heard them before. We just go around, Brother James. You want to represent yourself? Go ahead and tell us a little something about you.
Okay, I think you were asking me if I wanted to share with the listening audience something about myself. I can't make out what you're saying, dear sister, because your voice is very muffled. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir, if you could just introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, thank you, dear sister. My name is Brother James Muhammad. I'm blessed to be a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, located here in Tampa, Florida. I've been blessed to work throughout the state of Florida and the 7th region as a student minister, assisting Brother Rasul Hakeem Muhammad, the regional minister of the 7th region, which was a great honor. I've held several positions by Allah's grace and permission in this region. And so currently I serve as the regional auditor coordinator for the Dianetic activity here in the 7th region. And primarily, that's pretty much it. I've been in the nation for 41 years, going on 42 years. I don't want to list all of the things that Allah has blessed me to experience, but I'm just honored to be numbered with those who are panelists and guests on this show. I'm always happy to participate. Thank you, sis.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother James. Brother Kareem, how are you? Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam. And how are you, Queen?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. I cannot complain. Can you just introduce yourself or present yourself to those here on the show?
Well, I am Brother Kareem, known as Brother Kareem N. Muhammad on Facebook, also known as Kareem the Communicator. I host Conscious Black Nation here on the Nation Building Networks every Monday at 8 p.m. I was born and raised in the Nation of Islam. I'm just happy to be here and be a servant. I mean, there are many things that I do, but they're all by the grace and power of Allah. I'm going to have to put my phone on mute because I am en route home, but I should be there soon, and then I'll be back, but I'm going to stay on the line. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Kareem. And Brother Andre? Is he so mute, Brother Andre?
Student Minister Andre?
Can you hear me? I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Okay. Yes,
sir.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. I am sorry, I was on mute. But I want to introduce myself to the listening audience. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I am by the grace of Allah, I have been in the I am in the ministry class under the instruction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I've been in the nation going on 10 years. I've been exposed to Islam pretty much all of my life. I've had family members that are Muslims, but they are not registered Muslims in the nation. They are Orthodox Muslims. So I have been around Islam pretty much most of my physical life. I've been a registered Muslim in the nation for 10 years. I reside in the great city of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I am currently I hold the position of assistant minister here under the tutelage of student minister Robert Muhammad. I am also the auditor coordinator for the city as well in the Dianetics technology that the minister has given to us by the grace of Allah. So that's pretty much it. I am known as Andre Loves Allah on Facebook, for those of you who might not know me by Andre X, Andre Muhammad. So that is a little bit about myself. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Andre. Good minutes, Andre. And Brother Jahar, you could introduce yourself again to the show, please.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to Allah. Thank you, sis. I'm like a family. My name is Brother Jahar Ali. Four-star general of Senator Farrakhan. I'm just honored and blessed to be here again on the show. And, you know, I'm just ready to go ahead and get started, family. I've been registered in the Nation of Islam going on about 5 years now. You know, but however, I've been studying the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad for a little over 7 years. So that's practically it. I'm ready to get started, family.
Thank you so much for that. And you're ready for Sister Queen. Oh, no, Sister Queen. I mean, you can as well. Well, I think everybody knows me. I am Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. I am the Protocol and Program Director for Nation Building Movement Network. I am the owner and president of Queen Entertainment, and I am the marketing manager for The Road to the Hall of Fame, featuring actor Tony King, better known as Malik Farrakhan. And I am employed with two jobs, and the grandmother of one, and the mother of three children, and I am a registered GT. I have been registered for 30-something years, but I've been in the nation for 48, and that's it. I'm here. Now, given my bio, I should never, ever have to introduce myself again, but I love you all.
Yes, ma'am. All for his due to Allah. Thank you. This is stuff in there I didn't even know. But thank you, Queen. I appreciate you for helping out always and being so willing and available. So thank you. I'm glad that you're willing to be a part of
the honor is ours. And I want to tell you, Sister Yatira, I'm so very proud of the work that you're doing, because really Young, Gifted, and Black started out really about hip-hop, even though I knew that our youth were, you know, had more to offer than their music. So thank you for allowing the youth to express that intellectual side of themselves, and you're doing a wonderful job. So, sis, the honor is mine, and the blessing is ours that you have come to the front and, you know, just taking off and doing your thing. So all praise is due to Allah, sister. We thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. I am so thankful that Allah has given me as a vessel for his cause and whatever it is that he, you know, allowed, put in my head to, you know, bring to fruition. So all praise is due to Allah. Thank you again for the opportunity, Queen. And, okay, so I guess we can go right into it with the first question. And I want to start with Student Minister James with, who are the real Jews?
Thank you, dear sister. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made very clear that the true Jew according to Scripture, is not known by the circumcision of the foreskin of the male organ. In fact, I'll read it. It's in Romans, the second chapter, the 28th verse, wherein it states, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Now that has great symbolic meaning. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states that the statement, the circumcision of the heart, means that the intent of the true Jew is honest and open. There is no guile. There is no ulterior motive in the true Jew. What the true Jew says is what he or she intends. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states also that the process by which the physical circumcision takes place is to affect the accessibility of that organ so that it can be clean from that which the foreskin will cover and allow to accumulate. So it is with the heart of the true Jew. The true Jew is clean, his heart, if you will, is circumcised, to say that no ill motive is allowed to build up in the heart of the Jew. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan further states that a Jew is one who has a sacred covenant relationship with God. That is to say that the Jew has entered into an agreement with Almighty God that they would obey the statutes, laws, rules, and regulations and commands of God. And as such, God would bless them abundantly in the earth. And so I wanted to give that spiritual base before we got into the actual physical aspect of it. That is to say that those who are supplanted or implanted, which is a better terminology, in that area of the world, who are called Ashkenazi Jews, the so-called Semites, those Europeans who are not original Jews but have converted to Judaism and then through wicked agreements with the Western powers have usurped and supplanted that area of the world called Palestine and that area of the world called Israel. The true Jew is the black man and woman, the descendants of whom are found right here in America. So I'll stop there. This
yes, sir. Thank you so much for that beautiful description. Thank you, Brother James. Brother Kareem, passing the mic right on to you, and who do you say are the real Jews?
Well, I'm gonna give a short answer because I'm just now arriving at home. I need to get in. The short answer is I agree 100% with Student Minister James Muhammad that the real Jews are those called Jews, or more accurately, the children of Israel, is the black man and woman here in the wilderness of North America. But if you would allow me to come back to that and go on to another panelist so I can get in and
yes,
really
sir.
Get into this. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. So, Andre, would you go ahead and take that question on? Who do you say are the real Jews?
Thank you, dear sister. I must say that I have to agree with Student Minister James and also Brother Kareem that the true and original Jew is the black man and woman of America. And let us not get that twisted, like the brother said, with those who are spoken of as taught to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and instructed to us by him as well, those spoken of in Revelations 3 and 9 of those who say that they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So we don't want to get that mixed up with those ones who call themselves Jews because they are not Jews. And despite the fact that they can claim to be Jews to the media, the world, and the magazines, the newspaper, and the airwaves, that they are living the lifestyles of the true Jews, they are not. We are the ones spoken of in the scripture, not only the Holy Quran, but also the Bible, that we are the real children of Israel. I'm not going to go deeply and weigh in on the whole historical proof that we are the true Jews, but I will speak and say this, is that the Jews actually came from one of the 12 sons of Jacob in the scripture in the Bible, in the 35th chapter of Genesis, where it speaks that he has 12 sons, one of whom being called Judah. He came from that particular tribe, or the Jewish actual practice came from that particular son. So I won't go into way in detail about that as far as all of the necessary ancient and traditional history that involves this particular son of Jacob, but just to give you a brief description and open eyes and hearts to where it came from. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I praise the Allah. Thank you so much. And again for you, Brother Jihad, same question. You can explain, who are the real Jews?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Well, like what Brother Studeman and James and Brother Andre said, the true Jews are, of course, the black man and woman of America. And, you know, we have that place written of us in scripture, and I'm pretty sure we're all going to go into that later on as the show proceeds on. But you see, we have to remember, and excuse me, family, I'm in the middle of moving around, but we have to remember that we are the people of both the Holy Quran, the Torah, and the Bible, or the Gospel, the Injil. And you see, those who live in that state called Israel today, they are not the true Jews. Let's just be realistic, get that out the way. And as a matter of fact, they have even confessed themselves that they're not even the true Semitic people of that land. So what we have here is an identity crisis. The black man and black woman of America, we are the only ones who have been enslaved in the land that is not our own for the past 450 years. We're the only ones who have been subjected to this type of treatment and have been misused, abused, destroyed, literally. However, Allah has come to bring us out with great substance, and he's doing that as we speak, which shows and bears witness to the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, when God told Abraham, know for surety, Abraham, that thy seed would be in the land that is not theirs and should be stranded in that land for 400 years and shall serve them and afflict them for 400 years, and I will come bringing them out with great substance. So we have to understand that we are the ones who the Bible speaks of. And they themselves, who have hijacked our identity, have admitted that they have been enslaved by no man. When Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees in that day, he said, the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Jews responded saying, oh, well, how can the truth set us free when we have been enslaved by no man? Uh-oh, so there you go. That shows right there that since they have been enslaved by no man, that could be possibly, there could be no way, shape, or form that verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, was referring to them. So we are the only ones who have been enslaved for over 400 years. We are the only ones who have been inflicted upon in a land that is not our own for 400 years. We are the true Hebrews or Israelites or Jews or whatever you want to call it. So those people over there, they're just hijacking our name and our identity. And they haven't only done that, but our brother, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, has showed that they hired not only them, but they have the white supremacist forces that are against us have hijacked the Islam, hijacked the Christianity, hijacked the Judaism. They hijacked the everything. So it's only natural that they will say that. But we all know that the Aboriginal black man has ruled way longer before these Johnny Come Latelys have appeared on the scene. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Thank you all so much. Sister Queen, do you want to add on to that? Who are the real Jews?
Well, I can't really add too much to what's already been said, but along the lines of Brother Jihad, I mean, it's obvious that we are the original everything, and not from a scriptural standpoint, but from a scientific and historical standpoint, that the white man is the new man on the planet. So how can he be the originator of anything? Simple. That's it.
Thank you, Sister Queen. I love my sister. Okay. Thank you all for your beautiful responses. Moving on to the next question. Student Minister James, why is understanding who the real Jews are, why is that so important?
That's an excellent question, dear sister. It is important because it speaks to our origin in the earth and our relationship to God as it is recorded in the scriptures of both Bible and Quran. You know, there is no such thing as the religion of Judaism. You cannot find it in the Bible at all. However, the Jew, again, is not one who follows the religion Judaism as such. The Jew, of whom many say Jesus was, is, again, that one who has a sacred covenant relationship with God. Now, Brother Jihad recited some of that covenant found in Genesis when Allah God was speaking to Abram, then called Abram, now known as Abraham, in the 15th chapter of Genesis. He states, "Know of a surety that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years, after which I will come and judge those who held your seed in affliction, and I will get them out, bring them out, and they will go to their fathers and be buried in a good old age." This is talking about the victims of the transatlantic slave experience. You can find no other people more fitting the description of that particular covenant relationship. Of course, there has been slavery in the earth. We are not the monopolizers of slavery, nor or being victimized by slavery. We're not the monopolizers of suffering. We're not the monopolizers of abuse. However, never in the history of the human family has there ever been the kind of affliction, the kind of slavery, the kind of human or inhuman abuse that was inflicted upon the heads of the so-called Africans who were brought here from their native land and people. If you read the scriptures, it talks about what was done to us, and it continues to teach us what continually is done to us. Our lessons teach us that those who refer to themselves as Jews are they who emerged from the caves and hillsides of Europe first and had the benefit of the forgotten technology that our brother Musa taught them. And as such, they used that benefit and that knowledge to place themselves over time in significant positions of rulership in every sphere of human endeavor. And now today, in every sphere of science, in every sphere of education, in every sphere of finance, economics, you will find a Jew at the head of it. We're not upset with them for using the revelation to catapult them into positions of leadership, but we are upset over the fact that they've hidden the wisdom and abused the wisdom to subjugate the people of God who brought them the wisdom. Mm. And now they have to pay. They're going to pay at the hand of Brother James or the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. God has set his hand against them, as it is written in the revelations of the Bible in Revelations 3 and 9 and 2 and 9, wherein it states, Revelations 3 and 9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet." And we should question ourselves as to whose feet the Jesus is referring to here. "And to know that I have loved thee." And we, as important as it is to identify the true Jew and the false Jew, it is exceedingly important to identify that one to whom the scriptures are referring in this particular passage of scripture, that God says, or Christ says, he will make them bow down to that person's feet and worship at his feet. I wonder who that is. Food for thought.
Yes, sir. So
I'll stop right there.
Thank you so much, dear Minister James. I don't know if Brother Cream is ready yet. I don't want to put him under pressure.
I'm ready.
Okay. So I'll give you the first and second question, okay, Brother Cream?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the first question again was, who are the real Jews? And the second question is, why is understanding who the real Jews are so important?
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Well, and please forgive me. Let me start as I should have, as always, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, our messenger, the exalted Christ, and so much more, and in the name of our divine reminder in our midst, Messiah, Masih, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I want to answer both those questions, and like I said, I gave a brief answer initially, but yes, the starting point is in Genesis chapter 15, where it speaks of how Allah, how God spoke to Abram of his seed being a stranger in a land that was not theirs, that is not ours, and that how we would serve them for 400 years. Well, the individuals who claim to be Jews, you know, there is no history, no recorded history anywhere of them ever being in bondage anywhere for a period of 400 years. However, we have it in our own history, in our own experience, that we have been in the United States of America, or in the Western Hemisphere, should I say, for over 400 years, and were subject to slavery during that period of time. And even though many think that they are free, or we are free now, if you look at the condition that we're in, we are not. If you go and you study the Bible, won't even get into the Quran, but if you go and study the Bible and compare all of the things, all of the prophecies and the parables which refer to those who are called Jews or the children of Israel, you will find no parallel closer to or in exact
and in exactitude to than our sojourn here in America. And something that I do want to share, as Student Minister James Muhammad just read again and shared with us out of Revelation 3:9, it talks about those who claim to be Jews but are liars, and that he would make them of the synagogue of Satan. There is also a place, and I hadn't had a chance to go to that in Revelations, where it says that those who claim to be Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. He talks about the fact that he knows about their poverty and their tribulation, but then he says, but thou art rich. So that has to be talking about, and he, but again, it's talking about someone who's making a claim. In other words, today, if we were prosecuting this case in court, it would be a case of identity theft. And it would be the case of the greatest case of identity theft in the history of the world. Because as everyone is being taught in the church, if I understand it correctly, is that the Jews are the chosen people of God. These are the people that God has chosen to rule the planet with Jesus, if I'm understanding it correctly, you know, upon his return to the world. But let's look at what Jesus said to the Jews, Jesus of 2,000 years ago, according to the book, and what I have is the King James Version of the Bible. It's, I read the others, but this is the one that I use, and it's in the book of John. What Jesus says is talking to the Jews, it starts, well, I'm going to start is in verse 28. Please be patient with me. It states, it's John 8, starting in verse 28. He states, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now I'm going to stop right there. Just by that statement alone, they have already shown us that they are not the ones, according to the prophecy given to Abram in Genesis. They say they were never in bondage. So they couldn't have been in bondage for the 400 years given to Abram's seed. So they couldn't be answering that particular prophecy according to them in the book. It goes on to say, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, okay, wait a minute. They answered him, they answered him, we be Abram's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abram's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And this is the part most important, but I read all of it because I want it in context. If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, according to the Bible, which we just read, Jesus himself told those whom he was among, who claimed Abraham as their father, that they were not. So since Jesus said that they were not, it begs us to ask the question, since those, quote unquote, individuals claiming to be Jews, let's just say it was 2,000 years ago, since Jesus himself said they were not, then that would mean their descendants are not. So if that's the case, it begs us to ask the question, then who are those quote-unquote real Jews? How do we establish that?
Right.
How do we establish that? Because Jesus himself said that they are not. And as student minister, and I'm going to say this and wrap it up, as student minister James Muhammad mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, it was him, the fact that these individuals today who have usurped, see, I'm going to just say it, who have usurped the identity of the true children of Israel. Because, see, understand that today, Jew is a political term. Has nothing to do, as he said, with Judaism or practicing the religion or the righteous teachings that Moses gave. Has nothing to do with that. Jew is a political term. The real understanding is, who are the children of Israel that it talks about are the chosen of God, that God will raise up from a dead level to rule. So I'm gonna put a pin in it there, as we say. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, as Islam said, thank you for that beautiful breakdown. All praises due to Allah. I love these scriptures. I'm taking notes as we go along from everybody. Moving on to Student Minister Andre, the same question goes to you, Student Minister, on why is the understanding of who the real Jews are so important?
Thank you there, dear sister. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that Satan's power rests in his ability to deceive. In Revelation, it says that the serpent deceived the whole world, not some of it, not part of it, but the whole world. That means all of it. From an educational standpoint, it is very necessary for us to understand the importance of knowing who the Jews are, is because when we teach our children about what's being taught in the schools as the transatlantic slave trade, most of us that are conscious and that understand history from a traditional and an ancient sense, knowing that it is the Jews, or it was the Jews, who financed the transatlantic slave trade. They were the ones who owned the ships. They were the ones who went and sought out on the shores of Africa the necessary people to buy the slaves from and trade them. They were the ones who had owned the ports, or the places where these ships stopped and loaded up and unloaded the ones that died or threw over during this transportation of the slaves, threw them over in the ocean. They were the ones, when you speak about Columbus discovering America, they said it was the aim and purpose of Jewels, J-E-W-E-L-S, but that's not true. The true interpretation of that, or their aim and purpose, was the Jews, J-E-W-S, were the ones who financed the trip to a so-called discovery of America by Columbus. Also, from a historical and traditional sense, Columbus himself was a Jew. His true name was Cristobal Colon. For most of us that are conscious, or some of us that might not be, his name was Cristobal Colon, C-O-L-O-N, not Christopher Columbus. So himself actually was a Jew. And before he discovered America, or so-called discovered America, he also had did another discovery before that, before he came to America. Do your history. Read your history. I'm not going to go into detail because some of us need to study. We need to do our own research. So from a historical, from an educational, from a political standpoint, it is very necessary and important for us to know who the ones that were orchestrating or architect the cotton trade, the ones that owned the stores and dry goods that served dry goods and utensils and whatnot for those who owned the plantations or owned the land to subjugate the slaves. And afterwards, when they had the Civil War, it was the Jews who owned the land that foreclosed the land when the soldiers went to war with the North. And when they came back, the land was gone or had foreclosure on it. So that left them penniless. And this is where the whole land aspect of everything that we know of today, that they have so much land and they own the land to plant the cotton and whatnot to make them so rich. Mm-hmm. So from an educational standpoint, from a historical, both traditional and ancient, and from a political standpoint, these were the ones who are the architectures of defeat that we know of as far as history is concerned, concerning the black man and woman, not only in America, but in the Caribbean and Central and South America, Jamaica, all over, all the darker peoples, Haiti. This is the architecture who has deceived the whole world. So it is important when we understand from a historical and educational sense, because everybody suffers from this deceit. Everybody suffers from it. So it is important all in every aspect, I think, from a scriptural, historical, traditional, ancient, what have you, that we know or understand that this architecture or this person, in the Holy Quran, it speaks about the rule of Satan is a transitory life. It also speaks of it in another place as sport and play. And if you notice that most of the sport and play, all of the pro teams and pro athletes are owned by Jewish people. They're owned, they're prodded around by the agents who are Jewish, and the owners are wealthy Jewish people. So they have basically made that out of a plantation itself again. Because when you see that all over the place. So this is why it is necessary that we know and understand and the importance of why it is necessary for us to know who the Jewish people are. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Mr. Andre. And Brother Jihad, same question for you. And why is it so important on understanding who the real Jews are?
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's important because that's our identity. You know, like, we can't go through this life not knowing who we are. You know, that was why when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad came, he said that first thing he taught us was who was the original man. The original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, creator of the planet Earth, God of the universe. He had to give us an identity because we have lost our identity. We have to remember that the black man and black woman, we are the original of everything. We are the original Arab. We are the original Japanese and Chinese. We are the original Hebrew Israelite, wherever you want to call it. We circumnavigated the whole entire planet All 196,948,000 square miles of the planet Earth belongs to the black man. We were the first, and we will be the last. So we can't go through life allowing people to take our identity and to run with it. That's like allowing somebody who basically has no right to actually really to be, in my humble opinion, this is my personal belief, but an individual who has no right to really exist, to come out of nowhere and just take that which belongs to me and my family and then run with it and dig at the nerve to teach my children this false lie that they are the original. That, to me, is the ultimate slap in the face. We have to know who we are. And once our people understand their own nature, once they understand their identity, then that's when they can be able to grasp on to any kind of whatever you want to call it, religion or spirituality that they want. But the fact of the matter is it all goes back to the originator. But you see, that's the reason why our people are suffering today when it comes to theologies, because of the fact that, you know, they don't know who they are. They could call themselves a Christian, they could call themselves a Muslim, they could call themselves a Jew or whatever you want to call it. But they don't, they believe, our people believe that they're latching on to something that is other than their nature. They believe that being a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim is other than their nature. They just want to call themselves a Muslim, Christian, or a Jew. But they don't understand that even if you don't call yourself that, you still are that. And that's where the misconception comes in amongst us. And you see, also, I just want to also add real quickly, there's another scripture. And I know this may be shifting off subject, but there's another scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 68. It says, "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt not see it no more. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." Now, there have been architects and archaeologists and people who went to Egypt to see if there were any slaves in Egypt building pyramids. And that's what our people are being taught, that the so-called children of Israel were in Egypt building pyramids. And then Moses came, you know, with the whole Red Sea, et cetera, et cetera. However, all that is symbolic language. And our people are being taught that by the so-called Jews that, oh, the so-called Jews are the true Semitic people, number one. And they were building monuments in Egypt under the rule of Pharaoh, which is completely against history because there's no historical evidence to show that there were slaves in Egypt during that time under the rule of any particular pharaoh. We are taught that that is symbolic language. Egypt is America. Rome is America. Persia is America. All of which we've been taught in the Bible, all in the Holy Quran, all goes back to this whole ordeal regarding the black man and woman in America and our stolen identities. We have to know who we are as a people. If we don't know who we are as a people, then therefore we won't have a future. We can't teach our children anything. We can't go in this life not knowing who we are. Every other nation on the planet knows who they are. Every other nation on the planet can speak their original language. Every other nation on the planet knows their history. Comes to the poor Negro in America, oh, we don't know anything about ourselves. It is important to know who the true Jews are because of the fact it's us. It's important to know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you can't go in this life. You can't teach your children anything because your children won't know who they are. And it goes all the way down. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad came and he gave us the knowledge of self, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the universe. So therefore, if he gave us all that knowledge, then why shouldn't we know who we are? We are the Asiatic black man. We are everything that has been stolen from us. So that's all I want to say.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Yatira. Sister Yatira. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Alaykum salam. I can hear you, bro.
I don't know if she can. She's not responding. Sister,
she is.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, I can
hear
you now, dear.
Okay, yes, I'm sorry about that. My phone disconnected, and then I had to reconnect, but I heard you all. And yes, sir, Mr. James, you have the floor.
Yes, I wanted to state something regarding the history, that particular history of bondage in Egypt. You know, earlier on, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us of the history of those whites who, after being rounded up in the Holy Land, after being discovered as the culprits, who caused fighting and killing among the righteous, they were given an option as to where to migrate, some of them. Remember, the scripture says, or the lesson say, we rounded up all that we could find, and then there were those who migrated to Egypt under the leadership of this man called Farahun. If you go back, I don't remember exactly what installment it was, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us that information as it relates to the dual mission of Musa. He had more than one mission, not only to go and raise the Caucasian up out of the caves and hillsides of Europe, but he also had another mission in Egypt. I want to ask all of us that as we relate to the people on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, let us make sure that we're really, you know, listening to him, current with him, expressing him. All of you are saying wonderful things, you know, and of course they are true. But as the minister takes us deeply into the history of things that we before now did not have the knowledge of, we want to make sure that we distill that information to the people. So Moses did have a dual mission. And again, there were whites in Egypt, those whom we rounded up but gave the option to migrate from to one land or another, and they chose Egypt again under this man, one of their leaders, called Farahun. I have yet to be able to find him. Actually, I need to do more research. But if the minister said it, I know it's true, and I'll find it as I continue to research. But let's be right on it when we share this information. I have to go because I have another call that I have to be on with a believer that Allah is blessing me to counsel. But I want to thank you, dear Sister Yatira, and all of you young brothers and sisters. You are our future. There's no question about that. And as such, you have not only the responsibility to continue the mission, but you have the responsibility to stand on the shoulders of us who went before you, and the added responsibility to study what we did, both bad and good, both productive and non-productive, both successful and not so successful, that you don't waste time repeating the same mistakes that we made. We've invested our hopes in you, and I think it's a wonderful enterprise to invest in. So keep up the good work, Sister Yatira, Brother Student Minister Andre, Brother Jihad the Warrior, Brother Jihad Ali. Keep up your good work, and if you don't mind, I have to excuse myself at this time. Thank you again. Thank you, Sister Aziza, Brother Kareem. You know I'm always honored to be with you on any show. So I want to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
wow.
Thank you again for being here as well.
Okay, I guess he's gone. Okay. Well, again, beautiful answers from everyone. Thank you, Brother Johanna. Good hear your closing out. I wasn't able to speak again. I have to reconnect to the call. But nonetheless, I just wanted to move on to the next question. Oh, if we have any callers, listeners who want to ask a question or make a comment from the phone, you can just press 1. And Sister Queen, do we have any questions out right now?
No, ma'am, not at this time. And I'm trying to get my chat room was up. I'm trying to get it back. I'm refreshing right now. But on the phone lines, let me remind the listening audience, those of you who may have a question, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll be happy to take your question. And my chat room, my Google chat should be coming up in a minute, Sister, so we'll have some questions when we come back.
Okay, no problem. And, Queen, did you want to answer that question as well on why is this understanding of who the real Jews are so important?
Wow. Well, I think it's important because, I'm don't think I can really add anything to what anyone has said, but we have to first understand that we have a responsibility and a duty to ourselves, to our God, and to our future. And if we already know historically, because everyone is not religious or everyone doesn't read the Bible, everyone doesn't read the Quran, but everyone has suffered at the hand of this grafted one who we call the white man. So even if nothing else, historically, you can see the lies. You can see that in their behavior, in their characteristics, in their history, that they have done everything that was contrary to God. So in order for you to maintain moral fortitude, you have to recognize what is immoral. Not conform to it, but recognize what is immoral. So the practices that have been created in our societies have become more and more immoral. And if you're going to get on the side of God, you're going to have to recognize God when you see him and recognize devil when you see him.
Mm.
So it's important that we know the historical facts as well as the scriptural facts of who we are, because we know that we are the chosen people of God. Well, if we are the chosen people of God, then we have a duty to maintain. We have a moral fortitude to maintain, and we have to pass those teachings on to our babies if they are going to be the ones to usher in the hereafter. So it is because of our duty. We are duty-bound to know the truth. And we are duty-bound to go forward and teach the truth of God and teach the truth of devil. So that's all I have to say, sister. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I praise you so well. Thank you. Oh, wow. Okay, Brother Kareem, next question.
Yes, ma'am.
What is anti-Semite? What is a Semite? I'm sorry.
You say what is – oh, okay. What is a Semite? Black folks. that's a short and simple answer. However, let us refer to Webster, you know, and see what Webster has to say. Okay, and there we go. Now, according to Webster, Semite is described as a noun, and it says, a member of any of a number of peoples of ancient southwestern Asia, including the Akkadians, Phoenicians, Hebrews, and Arabs. It says, a descendant of these peoples, a member of a modern people speaking a Semitic language. Now, according to them, they say the first use was in 1848, and the origin is French, Semite, from the Sem or Shem, from the Latin, from the Greek Sem, from the Hebrew Shem. Now, this is according to Webster. That's what a Semite is. Now, your question is what is a Semite?
Yes, sir. But you can add anything you want to add to that, yes, sir.
Huh?
I said you feel free to add on whatever you want to add to it.
Yes, ma'am. I am.
Great.
Now,
<so long. laughs>
if you notice, the first definition is a member of any of a number of peoples. Now notice the language of ancient Southwestern Asia, including the Akkadians, Phoenicians, Hebrews, and Arabs. Now, just them using the word ancient gives us the answer, because we know that those who are called Caucasian or white people, these individuals whom we see presented to us today as Semitic, they have only been on the planet 6,000 years, and they have borne witness, scientists have borne witness to this themselves. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about this. I don't remember whether it was installment 45 or 46, but I know it was in the 40s. Very recently he discussed that fact, that their own scientists have said that they have gone back and shown that that individual, which we call Caucasian, has only been on the planet, or what they call modern man, has only been on the planet 6,000 years. So when we say, when it says a member of any number of the peoples of ancient Southwestern Asia, it would have to be referring to people, as they say today, of color, people who were here before the Caucasian got on the planet. So the Semite would be the original people or inhabitants of the earth, or of that area of the earth, and their descendants. That's what I'm going to say, because according to Webster, that's what it is.
Right. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, all praises due to.
Yes, sir. Student Minister Andre, would you like to add on to that? Is what is a semi? Is, you know, you don't have to go into the same definition, but if you want to just add anything, you know, along those lines.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. The only thing that I would add to that definition of Semite would be the son of Noah, I think his name was Shem.
Yes.
They would also utilize that term to refer to him, or the descendants of that particular son of Noah, Shem, as a Semite. You know, Noah was considered a dark man. Cain was born in a land where people had color. And that would be the same term that we would use for a Semite, a person who was born in a land or in the land where the people had color. And we know that initially, or from a historical aspect, the whole planet was at one time considered Asia. So when we say Southwest Asia, that can contain everything. So that would be the only thing that I would add to that, you know, being a Semite, was that any person who was born in a land where the people had color, pretty much. Mm. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll visit this for, and I just want to, again, you know, the purpose of this question is, you know, we all know that, you know, not only the minister, but, you know, any great black person who has, you know, has strived to make some kind of means or, you know, improvements in the black communities, period, have been called anti-Semitic. And, you know, of course, recently Kanye has just been called that, you know, simply by saying, you know, that black people don't have as many connections as Jewish people, so he's anti-Semitic, you know. So I just think that we have to put out there, you know, clearing up that word Semite and
what does it really mean, you know, so people have a true understanding and know that, you know, these fake Jews are calling people, I mean, are, you know, are calling people what they're not, you know, and they themselves aren't Semitic, the so-called Jews. So, you know, I just wanted to say, again, that's something that's always being thrown around, so I think it's just something that we really have to clear up and put out there, you know, the true meaning of it. So with that being said, Brother Jihad, is there anything that you want to add to what is a Semite?
I think we lost Brother Jihad. He hasn't called back yet. He usually calls back in. He hasn't called back yet.
So I don't know if his phone died or what.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Well, then that goes to you. Is there anything you want to add? So what is this tonight?
Oh. Are you asking me, sister?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Well, a Semite, of course, is us, is black people. Let me just say this, because I alluded to it earlier, but let me just break it down a little further. And I want to go from a universal point and a scientific point, that when Yaqub grafted this devil, of course, this white man, and I'm sorry if people are getting offended, and I have a question in the chat room, and I'm going to answer your question and their question at the same time, because Laurel's question is, why is the NOI claiming righteousness? This is black supremacy. I am black, but we need to unite. That's her comment and her question. So let me just say this. We as black people are the origin of life itself. Of all life itself.
Right.
So everything that there is, everything that there was, and everything that's to come originated from the God the Creator through the black man and woman, including the white man. The grafting of the white man was almost like the extraction of evilness to the 10th power. That's the nature of the white man. I'm sorry if you're offended. It's just absolutely true. You don't have to believe me, Sister Laura. Examine the history. Everything that they claim, whether they claim to be Jew, whether they claim to be Christian, some of them claim to be Muslim, some of them claim to be other stuff that we ain't never even heard of, everything that they have, they got from us. Every form of education, every science, every kind of civilization, they got it from us. And the only reason that they even exist is so that God can manifest his power. And that's why they have a limited time to be here. But we have been here since the beginning, and we'll be here when the hereafter comes, because there's no end. There's a physical end, but there's no end to the universe, to life itself. And so, you know, when we talk, we're not talking black supremacy. And I am not going to apologize for any white person that gets offended. I am not going to apologize for speaking up for the betterment of my people, because it is my people who have suffered at the hands of white people. And I don't understand why black people feel like they have to walk on eggshells every time they want to talk about our problems. We have to be black supremacists. But white people sit up
in the highest offices in the land and dictate your life with no regard for you.
Right.
And you don't say anything about white supremacy because what? They do it in politics? So we have the patent and the right to stand up and speak for our people. We are the original Semites, so how in the hell can we be anti-Semitic?
Mm-hmm.
Everything you got, you stole. You don't own anything. You like a bad resident. You like a cockroach in our society. I'm sorry. But, you know, and I'm really, I'm trying not to get upset, but, you know, black people, really, I am not going to ever apologize for stepping up to the mic or anywhere else and supporting black people and uplifting Minister Farrakhan and anybody else who speaks out on the benefit of our people, because white people have planned, have robbed, have stealed, have killed, have raped, have done everything to our people. And just because we love ourselves, just because we want better for ourselves, we are black supremacists. If we were black supremacists, we'd be taking over Europe right now. If we were black supremacists, we'd be running the Indians that are on reservations. Hell, we'll run them right into the ocean because the white man took everything else. If we were black supremacists, then there would be no such thing as a white neighborhood. If we were black supremacists, we'd be taking all the money out of your banks. That's not the behavior of a righteous man and a righteous woman. We're not trying to take anything from you. We want something for ourselves. But what's bothering white folks is that you're so afraid. That's that self-accusing spirit. That's that guilt. You're so afraid that the black man is going to retaliate, so you try to keep us in an impoverished position.
Mm-hmm.
But retaliation is not going to rectify anything. That is not the goal. We still trying to be on the right side of God. If we turn around and commit the same foolish acts you did, then we are equal to you, and that is not what we're trying to be. But I'm not going to apologize for standing up for the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, standing up for the teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I damn sure ain't going to apologize for being black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone. Okay. I'm going like
I like to weigh in on that right quick.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's no need for you to apologize, dear sister, for anything concerning the truth. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that truth is what separates. Truth will separate. You know, most people can't handle the truth, and especially some of our people who are still unconscious or still asleep. You know, the messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was criticized for teaching black supremacy, or, you know, what is considered to be black hate. But hate can't teach someone how to not be an addict and to be a responsible man. Hate can't teach a woman how to be the queen and the mother of civilization. You know, when you look at hate and the derivative of it, those things, hate just does not produce anything that's positive. So if we're teaching hate, then how come we are the best civilization for the world? Why does the Quran refer to us as we are the best nation produced for mankind? You know, so when you look at things of that nature, where people say that we're teaching black supremacy, there's no such thing as that. We're just teaching the love of ourselves, and that is the truth of the matter. And if you can't handle the truth, then maybe you need to just separate, go on about your business. Because we, like the sister was saying, we love ourselves, and we love ourselves enough to speak the truth or stand up for the truth as opposed to anybody who might say or say that we're wrong. So what? Because we're going to be faced with that. That's coming. You know, this is not just the beginning. This is all of this just starting to come because we are speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And as long as we stand up and speak the truth, then you don't have to apologize, this sir, because I'm not either. Right. I'm not going to apologize for anybody. And that includes family.
You know, right now there's people in my family that, you know, we don't have an association because, you know, I follow the Minister Farrakhan. I follow the Honorable Minister, and I'm proud to follow it. I tell them that. So what? What are you going to do about it? You ain't going to change nothing. You can't change anything. So, dear sister, don't apologize, please. That's, you know, you just following your heart. And your heart is based upon
don't worry,
you.
I won't.
Pray in the morning. I always pray in the morning. Please, oh Allah, root my truth in the heart. My heart in truth, so that I might not fall by the wayside. So please don't apologize. That's all I had to say.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, it's long.
It's
please, take it away.
Yeah. Queen Aziza, could you just repeat the question, if you don't mind? I want to be clear, you know.
Well, she had a question combined with a statement. She said her name is Laura L. Why is the NOI claiming righteousness? This is black supremacy. I am black, but we need to unite.
I understand. No, I just wanted to be sure I was clear. And again, I want to say this is that, number one, this is why it is so important before people or any of us start to bandy words about and these little phrases, these catchphrases that we usually get from the oppressor, okay, before we start trying to use that to attack something or someone, we really need to understand what the words mean.
Right.
Now, I went to Webster, you know, Merriam Webster, some white folks, and under the word supremacy, it's a noun. It says the quality or state of being supreme. Okay, well then I went and I looked up the word supreme, and supreme is defined as highest in rank or authority, highest in degree or quality, ultimate or final. All right, so now since the word supreme or supremacy simply means to be operating from the definition I see of supreme, supreme being in the highest order, well, the highest order in the universe is God himself. So if I am operating in supremacy, meaning that which is supreme, that means I'm operating out of God's law. That's supreme. Now, many people have come along and they seem to have a problem with quote-unquote black supremacy and talking about it would be bad and it's wrong. Well, I got a question. Have any of us ever lived under black supremacy? And since we haven't, how would we know it would even be bad? That's my first question. since we've never lived, the only rule that we have lived under is white supremacy. And I don't know about you, but I know that's been bad. I got the evidence. So before we, start bandying these terms around, but then as Queen Aziza stated and Student Minister Andre also added to and stated, the bottom line is that is not what is being taught. That is not what is being advanced, not in the negative, as it was stated. If we come to power, or had the power and then ruled or treated people the same way that the dominant individuals on the planet have been treating everyone on the planet, then we would be 100% wrong. But that's not what you find. As Student Minister Andre said, anybody operating out of wickedness could not produce the wonderful, wonderful results that have been produced and are being produced by the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad today as they are represented
most excellently by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and those, and indeed those also who sincerely have taken these teachings to heart and practiced these teachings. I would submit to Laura this. If do you know anyone who is a member of the Nation of Islam personally? And if you do, what is their behavior like? And if you don't, take time to get to know somebody. You know, I mean, this is the thing. And like I said, and I'm not doing it again. I'm in firm agreement because I don't apologize for the truth. I don't apologize for Almighty God, Allah. I don't have to. And I definitely do not apologize for being black. And I'm definitely not going to apologize for striving to be the best, to be supreme, and live my life in the best manner. Everyone should desire to live their life in the best manner, but not to the detriment of other people. And so I'm going to leave that where I'm going to table that as it is. I just wanted to add that to what was already said. I mean, it just because that's I hear it all the time. People throw this stuff out there.
I want to add something else too. You know, because whenever you start thinking about when people say stuff like that, well, let's give it some examples. And I'm pretty sure, you know, the sister Laura, let me give you an example of what the Nation of Islam has produced. When you look at the likes of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this man had a third-grade education. A third-grade education, meaning that, you know, he was, you know, he probably could read, he could write, but his education wasn't to the point that he was able, I guess, from this country's or this world's or this foundation's world standpoint, that he could produce the likes of what he's produced. Now, look at what he's produced. This man had a third-grade education, okay? But he produced the likes of Malcolm X, who only had an eighth-grade education. And you look at what he debated with some of the most powerful people in the world and never lost in a debate that I know of, that history teaches. Then you look at most the Muhammad Ali, the greatest world champion that ever fought in boxing. He was a heavyweight, not only just in physical stature, but he was a heavyweight in mental stature. When you look at the production that the Nation of Islam has produced, and you call it black supremacy, how can you say that? When you look at the products of these great men that have been produced by this what we follow, the Nation of Islam. There's nothing wicked about these people. There's nothing bad about anybody that I spoke of. Now, you have a school or a college, I think, that's in Chicago that's named after Malcolm X. Malcolm X College or Malcolm X University, one of them. I know something like that. And then you look at Muhammad Ali, all of his philanthropist efforts that he's given all over, we've known all over the world. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, now most of us might not know who that person, that man is, but the ones of us who know and understand his position, we know his background. We know where he came from. So in order for you to say something like that, do your research before you say things of that nature, saying, oh, this is black supremacy. Well, if that is, then how can something like we say, you saying we hate people? Basically is what you're saying. Okay, well, you hate. How can, you know, y'all hate? We supposed to unite with what, a snake? And that's what he is. And that's just the truth of the matter. You know, so please, before you say things like that, make sure you do your research on what the history, the traditional, or the ancient, doesn't make a difference. Do your research first. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
And I just want to add on to that as well, you know, just on what you're saying to Minister Andre. Again, you know, you can't just say anything without being able to defend it. And, I mean, just looking at the Nation of Islam, you know, what about our teachings, what about what we're doing demonstrates black supremacy, you know. There's no hate and nothing that we teach. We teach truth, we teach actual facts. You can take it or leave it. You know, I'm right here with all of y'all, you know, there's no need to apologize for anything. I have no sympathy for people who, you know, I don't really know what she was referring to when she said unite, if she was saying that, you know, as black people need to unite, or she was saying that we need to unite, you know, with white people, or I don't really know what exactly she was referring to. But I mean, if she was saying that we need to unite, you know, amongst the, you know, the black people, you know, that's what we're doing. You know, that's exactly what we're doing. We are uplifting one another. You know, we are striving to take ourselves out of the condition that we are in, making changes and putting us back where, you know, in our rightful place. And you know, and if she's saying that we need to unite with white people, you know, for what reason? You know, what has us being together? You know, when has that brought us any good? What good comes from that? So, you know, if she added in and say, I'm black. Are you black? And, you know, do you care enough for your people that you want to see them in a better state, that, you know, you can't teach them the truth, or you can't teach them what's real because you're black? You're scared that you're going to hurt the white people's feelings because you're saying that I want to focus on my black communities and I want to uplift my black brothers and my black sisters and you know, help them attain their full potential or where they should be at. I just don't understand that at all. And I just, you know, I would never back down. I would never apologize, or I would never, you know, sympathize with someone who even thinks like that. I just can't even grasp. I can't even understand, you know, where that's coming from. And again, we don't teach hate. We don't teach anything like that. What we teach is actual fact. I mean,
right. Right.
As, you know, as far as the supreme being or anything like that, not the supreme being, but just taking genetically speaking, two white people can only make white children. You can't take two white people and make a yellow, brown, or black man. But
right.
From a black man and a black woman, you can create all of the races. White, yellow, brown, black comes from black, point blank, period. So in that sense, genetically speaking, black people are supreme. We are superior when it comes to that, because through us comes all. So you can't fight that. And if you feel that us bringing that to the awareness of those who don't know is black supremacy, well, you know, that sounds like a personal problem, because, you know, you know, white people don't have a problem going over their history, and I'm sure throughout your class, or, you know, growing up when you were in school, did you ever raise your hand, or did you ever complain and say, why do we have to listen, why do we have to know the history of all the great things that the white people accomplished? Those kind of thoughts don't even cross your mind. But as soon as the black people come together and we're talking about our great accomplishments, and we're talking about, you know, coming together and doing for ourselves and things of that nature, all of a sudden we're black supremacy. Like, it doesn't even make sense, and I just, you know, that kind of stuff is, like, it's inferior. I mean, it's really, oh, my God, it's just upsetting. And, again, like my brother said, that if you can't defend what you're saying, you know, don't even put it out there, because, you know, you may put something on someone else who, you know, may be open to it, but doesn't have the opportunity to get the knowledge or ask the questions and do the research on their own. So you're putting your own ignorant mindset or your own ignorant thoughts onto the next person, because you don't have anything to defend what you're saying. So we won't apologize for the truth, you know, not ever in the past. You're not going to start now, so don't expect it ever. You know, in the future, that's just not going to happen.
Yes, okay, let's all just take a breather, and we're going to take a question from the line right quick.
Thank you so much.
Okay, area code 314, your mic is live.
How you guys doing today?
Fine.
Yes, sir.
We're fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I want y'all to bear with me a little bit. You know, the problem.
Can we find out who's calling first?
Yeah, this is Pianchi calling from the Midwest, from St. Louis area.
Oh, okay. Okay, hi, Pianchi.
Now, one of the problems that goes on amongst blacks with particular, and I'll use the word black in general terms, politically the way it is used here in the United States, I'm not saying African, even though I do mean that, but we tend to forget that all of us is not the same.
You don't need it. You look better without it.
All blacks in America are not the same. And I hear this said a lot of times, like you mentioned about the lady that wrote the letter. Well, she's saying that we, but it's not. I mean, all blacks are not the same. If she wants to do that, then let her go ahead and do that. Another thing, Elijah Muhammad was a genius. And I came up during that time, and I observed. But see, the Nation of Islam today is not the Nation of Islam then. The Nation of Islam then was the largest employer of blacks in America. They had an ideology which was superb. They merely wanted to do for themselves. Supremacy, it's nothing wrong with being supreme over the things that you consume. It's nothing wrong with being supreme over the things that you depend on. You're supposed to provide for yourself. And that's what the Nation of Islam back at that time was actually doing. And even then, you had blacks that didn't want to have nothing to do with you. But you had, 250,000 membership. Mm-hmm. You was doing for yourself. And that was excellent. But some of the older people on the line know exactly where things went wrong. You know, it's easier to look back and see where things look wrong than it is to be in the present and try to see where you actually are going wrong. So I understand. And see, another thing that we have, hamper that we have, we live in America, and we are a subculture in this country. And people of like mind, like the ones that's on here, and what you're talking, we got to set an example of dependency and so on and so on and so on. Then people on the outside will look at that and say, hey, this is something I want to get involved in. You know, other Muslims don't give credence to the Nation of Islam. You know the ones from Arabia don't. The ones that were talking about 9/11, they didn't invite nobody from the nation that I know of to sit down on any Meet the Press or any other news media as they discuss, you know, what is Islam. Look at the Somalis who is occupying Minnesota and look at the things that they're doing economically. They don't extend a hand. They just go ahead and do what they're going to do. And I think that's what, the people like yourself on the line, just go ahead and do what you know you got to do. And don't worry about these other folks. All they are is a distraction anyway. And believe me, people always want to get up in your mix when you got something going on. But if they look in your direction and they don't see anything outstanding, they don't see anything to be envious of or even want to be a part of because it's addressing their needs, then they're not going to come. So, you know, I hope that made some kind of sense. But Elijah Muhammad was a genius. He was a philosopher. He's not studied when blacks or anybody else, and I'm just saying black people, I ain't worrying about nobody else. When blacks go to the universities and the colleges to get a degree in philosophy, they don't have none of Elijah Muhammad's written books there to study out of. We have to have our own schools to have that. And the Nation of Islam did have, they had the Clara Muhammad School, excellent schools. But see, we're still members of the United States of America. We get caught up in this society where you got women aborting children. Well, hell, if you abort children, then what's your future going to look like? You wonder why come we closing schools in all the black school districts? Because there ain't no kids. So I didn't want to take up your time, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Yes,
and does that make any sense? I mean, what I said, did that make any sense?
Absolutely. And, you
yes,
know,
sir.
I just
yes,
want to,
sir.
You know, all I'm saying is this, though. All I'm saying is that if people want, if they feel that the current system
works for them, that is fine. But if you are listening to this broadcast, it's our prayer every time that you get an understanding. But it's not about black supremacy in the context in which she meant it, as though we are trying to dominate or trying to reverse what white supremacy has represented in this country, because that is not the goal. We're not trying to go back and retaliate against white people for what, you know, they have done historically. That is not the goal, and I did not want her to misunderstand. And
well,
so
you know,
she made
emotions.
A comment that
yeah.
that we needed to apologize, and I was just making yeah. it clear that that wasn't going to happen.
Well, she wants you to apologize because she's misinterpreting. White supremacy, see, our problem in this country is not racism. Our problem really, not only in this country but around the world, but it's diminishing, it's white supremacy. And white supremacy just basically is that they want to control everything that you need for the basis of survival. They want to control your food, your clothing, everything. And the only way you defeat that, you have to compete against it. You have to compete against them, and now you got others in your community that want to control the things that you need to survive. And when they do that, the profits that's derived from that consumption is taken elsewhere. It's not left into the community where your children don't have to be standing at the red lights with pots and pans and helmets trying to collect money so they can buy uniforms and go on tournaments. They don't offer nothing to that. Them Asians don't give us a dime. If you want to open up a store selling XYZ and you got to go to Asians to get it wholesale, they're not going to give you family prices where you can compete against their cousin who's already selling it across the street from where you want to open up a new store. It's not going to happen. It's difficult to do it today. Back then, during the time of Elijah Muhammad, things just fell in place, and it was beautiful. But we all know, and some of us know, what happened. It was greed and a whole lot of other things that happened. And now, thus, we have what we have today as far as the Nation of Islam is concerned. And it's going to take a heck of a lot of work in order to overcome that. I mean, things are just, I mean, it's just not like it was then.
Yes, sir, you're right. Yes, sir. It's not the same. But inshallah, it's going to get better. It's going
to
get
you
got
to work for it. You got to work for it to make it better. And another thing, you got to teach your children, because you're not going to be here forever. You're doing the things for them to stand on those shoulders. It's for them to be able to build off of. Just think, if everything had remained the same in progress during that time, what your children would have to build off of today. Our children don't have anything, those in and those outside don't have anything to build off of. And that's the tragedy, because they think it's something wrong with them and made you believe that it's something wrong with them. It's nothing wrong with our children. What's wrong with our children is knucklehead, older adults, blacks, that didn't leave them with nothing to work on. I just hope that, I just wanted to say that. I listened for a while, and I'm not trying to cause any animosity or, you know, point any fingers or anything. I just felt like I need to say that.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, thank you, Brother Piyaki, for calling in.
Well, I guess that calmed everybody down.
Well, we just wanted to take a breath. We wanted to take a breath and get our heads right, you know.
Right.
That was reassuring. So, yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'll praise this for a lot. Beautiful. So I definitely appreciate that call. I feel like the sister's question kind of, my one of the last questions was kind of, I just wanted to know, how do we respond to instances where when we talk about the history and you know, Jews selling blacks, how do we respond when the first thing out of the, you know, the person that we're speaking to, their response typically is, well, blacks go black too, type of thing. And so like that kind of went along with the mindset of, you know, what she was doing. And, you know, it's just we have to love ourselves. You know, we have to love ourselves as a people, you know, individually and as a people, you know, enough where we knock out that fear and that cowardliness where, you know, we're just that I don't know, the courage just isn't there in us to want to fight for ourselves. And if we think the thought of fighting for ourselves and what we believe is right, you know, that second thought comes right and follows after that, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't want to see him this way, or the white man is not going to like me, or, you know, maybe this black person won't agree with me. And it's just like, you know, all those different factors, though maybe true, shouldn't, you know, defer you from moving out on what you feel is right or what you feel that you should do. So, I mean, Allah has just, I can't thank Allah enough for appearing in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad to us. I can't thank him enough for just the, you know, the spirit and the passion that I believe that he has put on me. You know, as a young child, my mom used to call me her guillotine child, and it was just because being younger, I didn't like that. You know, I was the one that, if I didn't like anything, you're going to know about it, or she said I'll be the one to cut off her head, because if we all me and all my sisters, if we didn't like anything, I'm going to speak out on it, you know, regardless of if, you know, mom is this or whatever, you know, fair is fair, justice is just, and that is what it is. And I feel, you know, my passion and that warrior spirit that I have is, it's like, I, you know, basically I have a purpose now. And, you know, the passion and the spirit that I have, that I believe I have, that Allah has given me is, you know, well, because I'm going to be dealing with a lot of people like that. I'm going to be dealing with a lot of my own people like that, where the patient has to come in and I have to really learn patience, you know, because that it doesn't take much to kill this fire. But, you know, it's just, as we're closing out, and I just, I think that was just good on this topic that we were talking, because we have to know the history. We have to know the truth. We have to know the actual facts, you know, before we just make any kind of statements, before we believe anything, before we move out on certain things or whatever. So, you know, I'm speaking to myself, I'm speaking to the listening audience, you know, whomever needs to hear this message, you know, I'm just glad. I always thank Allah for how everything works out. You know, I don't never turn away or dislike any questions. You know, somebody's thinking it. So I'm appreciative that we can get those kind of questions. Somebody else maybe have those same thoughts, and here we get to address it. So all praises is to Allah. And I just, you know, if anybody has any comments, you know, please feel free to, you know, speak on them. No takers. So the screen, nothing?
Yeah. I'm just really you know, basking in the radiance of the last caller's you know his compliments. I mean, because it is truly a testament, you know, and it feels, I'm gonna be very honest with you, it feels good to be appreciated.
Oh.
Right. It really feels good to be appreciated and also understood.
Right.
You know, to be understood and that other individuals see what has taken place and what is taking place.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's because here we have someone who doesn't claim to be a member of the Nation of Islam, but they can see the value and the validity of the Nation of Islam. Not that I need to be validated, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it does feel good to be appreciated,
right,
when so often we are picked on and jumped on and just,
right,
just you know, it is wonderful to see that the work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that our work is appreciated, you know. I mean, and
right,
it's really...
Right.
That's really all I can say about that. I mean, I can say this, that this has been, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the panel. this evening. Your subject right on point, your topic right on point, and that it is vital, regardless of whether an individual believes in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or not, whether they accept any of those things, it is vital that each and every one of us as a people find out who we are and what our purpose is on the planet, and then go to work to bring that into fruition. You know, I'm not going to sit up and tell an individual, yes, you must do this. No, just find out who you are. In finding out who you are, what your real identity is as a human being and as an individual, you will find so much peace, and it will allow you to be able to move forward in your life to accomplish those righteous goals that you have. And that's really all I have to say. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Green. Before we close out, Sister Queen, I had a brother that was supposed to be calling in and to be advertising his album that he just released online. And I can just ask Brother Frank if you're on, if you could press one. And I remind him of the show, so I'm not I'm not 100% sure if he called in or not. But I don't have his number. But again, as Brother Frank is on the call, I just want him to press one so he could, you know, give out the link for his album. So
are you talking about Frank Ekkesson? No, he's not on.
No, okay. I don't know the website off by heart. But
find him on iTunes.
iTunes, he's on there?
I'm so sure.
Okay.
He's one of my young, gifted, and black artists.
We're going to have to show. We have to do some young, gifted, and black. We have to do some hip-hop there as well. And that was Brother Ronnie. That wasn't my strong field because he was in the music.
I just wanted to add, too, that, you know, this is the first time that I was able to come on and be a panelist for Young, Gifted, and Black. I had spoken with Sister Yatira this week about coming on this show, and, you know, praise be to Allah, I got invited tonight. You know, I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, it's always good to be prepared, especially, you know, and that's one of the things about, you know, us and how we have to always be prepared according to the scripture that, you know, whenever we are called, that we should be able to come forth to be of assistance in whatever capacity that is necessary. And like Brother Kareem had said earlier about the subject matter, the topic tonight was very important. Because, you know, we're living in that time now that it's definitely important for us to know our position and our standpoint as far as what we see going on in the world and how we are supposed to respond to what we see and how things are happening right now. So it's important and to understand where we are in history, period. So not only in scripture, but as opposed to anything that is of value as far as education and politics is concerned. Because it's necessary for us to see where we are in history, because we've been locked out from that for so long. Not only, you know, in tradition, but also in everything else. Every avenue so far almost has been taken away from us. So we have to be given back that side of who we are to a point that it allow us to grow from it. And become, you know, the people that we were supposed to be in the first place. And it's that time now. So it's important that we know why is it important to know who the Jews are, because those are the ones that have architected and stolen our identity in every aspect. So we have to know who they are. In order for us to know who the devil is, we got to know who, you know, we got to be able to see him before he comes. And being able to know him or being able to see him, we have to know who he is. And if we don't know who he is, we're not going to be able to see him when he comes. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you again, Sister Minister Andre, for being on. And I look forward to future shows with you as well. You know, we should be doing the show soon with the communications and social media side with the youth and, you know, the brothers and sisters. So,
yeah.
Yes, sir. So I definitely appreciate you willing and reaching out and letting me even know that you would, you know, want to be a part. So I really, really, really appreciate that. And I'm praying to do so a lot.
And again,
for a listening audience, if you can find me on Facebook at TT McDaniel. And, you know, I love to get the input from the audience. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? You know, what do you want to see on the show? That kind of thing. So, you know, find me on Facebook. And this is the Queen, if you want to go over the, you know, the lines for the show, I know we're at time.
Sister Yatira,
yes, ma'am.
This is Irene Olive.
I'm sorry?
Huh?
I'm sorry. This is Irene Olive, Sister Yatira, Moss 95, your sister in stage. I just want to say you did a wonderful job tonight.
Oh, Sister Irene, I praise you so much.
Yes. I'm just listening, soaking up the knowledge like a sponge. You're a very bright sister, so please keep up the good work.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay, listen, I want to send out a quick invitation right quick. there's another conference call that's going on called FireCon to Jesus, and right now, if you want to participate, you have about 30 minutes, and let me give y'all the number in case anyone wants to participate, and I think, this is ran by Brother Albert out of Cleveland, Ohio, but it's a very interesting topic, and it ends at 10:30, but 11:30 Eastern Time, and they're talking about FireCon to Jesus, so if you want to participate, the number is area code 530-881-1300, and the access code is 182-642. And, of course, we're supporters of Let Us Make Man, so we want to show them some love. And so if anyone who's interested, jump on over there and get in the conversation. Just tell them Sister Queen sent you, and you'll be good. So, again, the number is area code 530-881-1300. The access code is 182-642. And join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. with Brother Vernon as he talks about our economic development program, No Romance Without Finance. On Monday, we'll hear from Brother Kareem, and Brother Andre will join us again on the topic of Why Dianetics. So that's Monday at 8 p.m. Central. On Tuesday, Brother Jihad will be back with a new series at 8 p.m. with Out on the Front Line. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., DJ Caesar and Friends, the hip-hop comedy show. 7 p.m. Okay, and then on Thursday, join me, and I'll be joined by a slew of brothers who are going to go through with the identification of Farrakhan in Scripture. And we'll have Brother Student Minister Dimitri. I think Brother Student Minister Andre, I think you're on that panel, Student Minister James, another Student Minister James, and our musician in the Nation of Islam, Brother Victor Muhammad, he's going to join us, and we're going to be identifying all facets of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan through Scripture, so don't miss that at 8 p.m. on Thursday, and then, of course, on Friday, we'll be back with study group with Student Minister James Muhammad at 8 p.m. And, of course, next week we'll be right back here with Sister TT on Young, Gifted, and Black. And, Sister, you going to give us a sneak peek of the topic or we have to wait? Sister Yatira? Okay, well, we might have to wait. But, anyway, thank you all for joining us. And may Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave here as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.